Today we want to read from Psalms chapter 78, if you want to turn there in your Bible. As you talk about the generation to come, we may ask ourselves what's going to happen to this generation that we're living in right now, this period of time that we're living in. Well, God knows the answer to that. Many people think they know, but really only God knows. But He does know. But I believe the Bible addresses this, and so I want to talk about the generation to come today. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our father hath told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget His work, the works of God, but keep His commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright.
And whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. Marvelous things He did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime, He also led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Father, thank You, God, for Your wonderful word today. I pray that Your Holy Spirit, God, will just anoint Your servant, anoint us to hear and receive what You have spoken in Your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The generation to come. To my fear is that this generation in our own day and time has turn into a biblically illiterate generation. A generation that is unfamiliar with simple Bible stories that we take for granted and that everyone knows from Sunday school. Let me just say this, I do believe in Sunday school. Then the children learn and people learn, young people learn, and people my age learn and older. But this isn't an observation from just a few people in America, but the church world recognizes this, that if people are not trained in the Word of God, don't know the Word of God. Years ago when I went for a first church, it was a highly Catholic area, and I began to preach sermons and say, you know, stuff like David and Goliath, you know. They didn't know anything about David and Goliath. All I knew was the Catholic priest got up and read something, you know, and probably in Latin. But they didn't understand the simple Bible stories because they hadn't been taught that from a youth, because they grew up in a religion instead of a relationship with God. But you see, today there is a generation influenced by left-wing liberals that dishonor God, atheistic leaders in schools and colleges, learning centers that have no fear of God.
That's sad. That's what our America has come to. And a generation that has no fear or reverence or respect for God, they just think God is just a religion that everybody has or somebody has. But a generation without eternal values, but are determined to keep up with society and whatever it does, whether it honors God or not. However, I believe there is a remnant of people who will not compromise their faith. And I believe that's you and I. And a generation who will still believe that this gospel is the gospel of Christ, the power of God for salvation. A people who are on their way to heaven, who still believe that God defines right and wrong, who have a commitment to follow Jesus, and no matter what he says or does, we're going to go with him. We're going to live for God. We're going to serve God. This generation to serve, love, and live for God forever. And no matter what society does, no matter what comes or goes, what ideas that may spring up here and there, we're going to stick to the one true God and live for him and serve him. Praise God. I'm amazed at communications people are exposed to. And I want to compare that for a moment. You know, that's just a joke, but I heard that Willie Nelson had a new song called On the Phone Again. No, not really. But in the Old Testament, there were certain dietary things that happened. God had to keep his people healthy if they were going to walk through the wilderness for 40 years, and he told them things to do and not to do. There were certain birds, I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about birds, that were unclean and were not to be partaken of as food. And all those were buzzards and crows and owls and vultures and all birds that fed on dead things. And so, you know, they couldn't go to Buzzard Express. They had to feed on good things that would give them life, because if they fed on dead things, like I've just mentioned, then their health would decline. There's no way they could walk through 40 years of wilderness and survive. And I'm not here to tell you or teach you what to eat or whatever, but I am here to say that there are things that they fed on death. They couldn't feed on death and have life. They had to feed on things that were living. And in the spiritual sense, society today feeds on things that cause spiritual death. But I'm asking you, church, asking me, what are we feeding on? Are we feeding on the bad things on the internet? There are good things on there. There are bad things on that. Are we feeding on cell phones? Are we feeding on just whatever somebody happens to buy ideas, somebody happens to come up with? Or are we feeding on the truth of Word of God, the bread of God's Word? And so we need to understand that. What this generation to come, and that's you and I, what are we going to be? First of all, the generation to come sees that God's law must be passed on to the next generation. First, verse 4 of our text, Psalm 78, we will not hide them from their children till the generation to come of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works he has done. We're not going to hide from our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever we may have here. We're not going to hide what God has done. We're going to be willing to proclaim what God has done. It is considered foolishness that something offends God. Let me tell you, all sin offends God. And we don't need to offend God. But secular life has set up its own gods to worship, and society rewrites its own Ten Commandments that are not anywhere near God's Ten Commandments. And so God has written his own commandments. Instead of learning God's commandments, many people are making their own commandments. Say, I'll live this way and I'll decide for myself what's right and wrong, and I'll go here or go there regardless of what the Bible says. But let me tell you something. We either abide by what God says and do what he says, or the curse of God will be upon us instead of the blessing of God.
And so people today want a life of no restrictions and no restraints. Whatever I say goes, but in God's eyes, not whatever I say goes, but what God says goes. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Happy is he who keeps the law. And so God restrains people. And God restrains certain behaviors, not because he's wanting to rob us of a good time, but I want to tell you people what people think is a good time isn't a good time. If you cave into sin and all it has to do, the ends are not good. If you sow the seeds of foolishness and sin, you'll reap the same. But God's law has not changed. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Ten Commandments are reinstated there. I know it is in Exodus, but in Deuteronomy, God gives them a second refresher course so that you don't forget the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says here that he established a testimony in Jacob or Israel, and this was to be the behavior of God's people. And so God gave the Ten Commandments and says, this is the way you're supposed to live. And the Ten Commandments are the most simplistic rules that could guide a society. Let's just think about it for just a moment. How many marriage problems would be solved if thou shalt not commit adultery was taught to upcoming generations? How much less theft if all were taught thou shalt not steal? How less lawsuits there would be if thou shalt not bear false witness? If it was this way, we'd put many lawyers out of business. Today we're taught if there is a penalty only if you get caught. But let me tell you something. God sees everything everywhere. You cannot absent yourself from God. God is everywhere. God knows all things. And so it says here in the scripture, verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Verse 7 of our text. And hope comes and stays if every generation has set its hope in God. Because the world, the carnal world, has no spiritual hope, no eternal hope, surely. And hope, my friend, is not in the latest iPhone, iPad, or cell phone. Hope is not in the greatest or the most recently recognized sports figure. But I am saying hope comes from God, and it doesn't come from anywhere else. And if you have hope, real hope, eternal hope, it has to come from God, because he's the source of all hope, source of all eternal hope, and everything else is temporary here, but God is eternal, and God has given you hope. My friend, the church is looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord. We need to tell the generation to come that that's where our hope really is. Hope comes when we're anchored in Christ, the solid rock. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. A life built upon Christ. My mind goes back to a book that's difficult to read at times. The book of Judges. The Judges came into the history of Israel here because Israel lived for God all the days of Joshua as he led Israel to their promised land. But in Judges chapter 2, verse 7, it says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. They buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. Notice this, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work that he had done for Israel. And so here we have upcoming in Israel a generation that didn't know anything about God. Why didn't they know about God? Because their parents had not passed it on from one generation to the next. And the book of Judges is a book where that people serve God for a while, and then they live for evil for a while. And when people would cry out to God, God would raise up a judge that would come in, and the people would be repentant for a certain amount of time. But when that judge died, then they would go back to their old carnal, sinful ways of living. And so the book of Judges is discouraging in that fact that it seemed like they never learned. But yet, we find that the scripture that describes Judges is Judges 21:25. It said, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's a terrible place to be. Did I just make up my own rule? If I say it's right, it's right. If I say it's okay, it's okay. If I say it's okay to cheat every once in a while, steal once in a while, it's okay. No. Whenever a party does what is right in their own eyes, it's not going to be good, because man has a carnal, sinful nature that's going to go wrong instead of right. But we need God. We need God in our life. We need this generation to come, needs Jesus, needs to have an old-fashioned experience with God, a meeting with God, praise the Lord, and to know that they've been in the presence of the Almighty God. And if you're in the presence of Almighty God, God will show you right from wrong, good from evil. God will show you what's righteous and what's holy and what's impure and what offends Him. And God wants us to walk in Him, to live in Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. He's the Lord. Second here in the message today, spiritual victory comes when past victories are remembered. And the older we get, the more we tend to forget. Amen. Just like one fellow said, what do you really believe? He said, well, I believe in the hereafter, but sometimes when I go from one room to the other, I wonder what I'm here after. Forget too much. But spiritual victory comes when past victories are remembered. And here in Psalm 78, verse 9, the children of Ephraim, armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They were armed, they were ready to fight, but they just turned back. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law. They forgot His works and His wonders He had shown them. And this speaks of a society, a generation that's just not concerned about God or the things of God. They forgot the victories that God gave Ephraim or Israel, and they turned back in the day of battle as if God wasn't able to keep giving them victory. It says they forgot His works, and God had done so many wonderful works among them. God had saw the generation before them. They had seen the Red Sea crossing. They had seen God provide manna in the wilderness and water out of the rock. They had seen God do powerful things, but yet they turned back in the day of battle. Verse 9. They forgot how far or what God had brought them from. They had not learned to trust God for their victory. There rose a generation that didn't know God. They turned their back, full of fear, full of failure, full of defeat, pretty sure that when we go against this battle, we have this battle, I'm pretty sure we're not going to win anyway, so let's just turn back. That's not the way to live. I do not know, we cannot know what will happen in our age, but there's times, things in my day growing up that I had to turn my back on and said, I'm just not going to go to that direction because it's not of God. There's a day when I had to, of course, start listening to gospel music instead of country and western music. There's a day when I had to start filling my mind with good things instead of bad things. There's a time when I realized that if I didn't change, I was just going to go along with the crowd and be just like one of them. But God has not told us just to be weird or unusual, but God has told us to follow Him and live for Him and serve Him and keep in what He says, do what He says is right and refrain from what is wrong. Praise God. So they turned back. They forgot God's great deliverance from Egypt. Egypt is the top of the world. They forgot God's deliverance from sinful Egypt. Verse 12 in our text, marvelous things he, God, did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime he led them with a cloud, and all night with a fire, light of fire. The visible presence of God, a cloud by day to lead them, and a fire by night to lead them. They could not say, we just never saw God in anything. God gave continual revelation. Cloud by day, fire by night. Verse 15, he split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. Now, they were in a wilderness. There were no wells there. I mean, they had no lakes. They had nothing to draw water from. But God split the rocks in the wilderness and caused water to run out enough to fill a whole nation of people and all their animals, to give them something to drink. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. You say, well, God, I just need a little shot of water here. No, the Bible says here, caused waters to run down like the rivers. So water is powerful. They all drank from that water. And how could they not know that God was the one that gave them that water to drink? There was no water in that wilderness. It was in a desert. There was no place to drink water. You didn't go down to Dairy Queen and buy a Coke. Amen. There was no place. There was no water. But God provided water out of the rock. But they turned back, full of fear and full of defeat. Why? Because that generation did not know the Lord. They had been taught, yes, they had heard of all these things, but somehow or another, a generation came forth that did not know the Lord, the Bible tells us there. They forgot. My friend, church, we must not forget who got us this far. Must not forget who saved us. Must not forget who gives us eternal hope. Not forget who walks with us. Not forget who lifts us up when we are down. Not forget who promises he will never leave us or forsake us. Not forget who reminds us of his eternal glory he has for us. Amen. We not forget who is trustworthy and faithful. This God that we serve and live, he's never failed once. He's never failed yet. He's not going to fail in the future. He's not going to fail forever. My friend, let's be the generation that sees God, loves God, lives for God, not be a generation that turns their back on God, but a generation that goes forward with God and testifies the wonderful grace and love of God that he has graciously given us. Praise the Lord. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God did everything that could be done to give you hope. He gave his only begotten Son, and through faith in him, we become justified by faith, declared not guilty by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. And God is the God of divine provision. We worry about we won't be provided for. We won't have enough of this, that, and the other. Matter of fact, we've got too much of many things that we don't need. But the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. The writer here, now this is many years past the Old Testament scriptures, or many past Israel being in the wilderness. But the Apostle Paul and the New Covenant, he begins to tell them some things. He even points back to some things. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. See, he was reminding the generation that of the Red Sea crossing. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, type of baptism.
And he reminds the generation that he was talking to that all ate the same spiritual food. He's reminding them of the man in the wilderness. They weren't going to let this generation pass not knowing what God did. But the generation to come might know who God was. They all drank from that same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Many scholars believe actually that the literal rock that God brought water from followed them in 40 years of wilderness and gave water wherever they were at. My friend, God hadn't changed. He hadn't changed provision for His people. If I were to say testimony right now of God, something God has provided you for, amen, we'd be here till midnight. There we should be. We won't be. But God has blessed us. He's been with us. We can tell of many testimonies that God has done, how God has provided. God is the same. He's always provided whatever we need, food to eat, and water to drink. And it says here that rock was Christ. Praise the Lord. And so God had divine provision. Every generation has a sin problem, and every generation must be reached with the gospel. And I want to call your attention to the book of Proverbs. I know I was taught in college you're supposed to just take one verse and do everything from there, but expository preaching is different. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, in verse 7, it says several times about a generation here. I want us to notice just briefly here. Most preachers don't say briefly, but I will. In Proverbs 30 and 11, it says, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother." In the Old Testament, if you curse father and mother, they have a rock concert in your honor. They'd stone you to death. Verse 12, "There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes and yet not washed from its filthiness." That's a generation that thinks that anything I want to do is okay. If it's sin, there's no penalty for it. But there is. Pure in its own eyes. Verse 13, "There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Pride." Finally, there's a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives. That doesn't need to let God take care of control of our mouth and our mind and our will and our words. Okay? So spiritual victory comes when past victories are remembered. And God does remember, and God does care. We don't have to be the generation that does all these things here that we have just read about, but we can be the generation that served God and the generation to come that we can live. We can tell our children, teach our children, our children's children, our grandchildren, the works of God so that they won't stray from the Lord and have to reap the wages of sin, which is death. My friend, we have a generation to reach. We have people to reach. Amen. We have people that need God, that need to love God, need to learn the love of God, that need to realize that all this world has to offer is nothing, that it'll vanish in the end, but the things of God are eternal, and God has promised not eternal destruction, but eternal life. He's promised us a fellowship with Him forever in the eternities of God. We need to teach the generation to come to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Amen.